Mine's good.
Never on.
Whoa.
Hard. Hard reset.
Come on, Brent.
Mine's good.
Got real close.
The hair high, right?
Trying to hit two thirds.
Have they saved it for her? Yes, they have.
Ooh, welcome to Game of Stones, everybody. I am Sean Graham, Scott. Alongside, as always, hello, Scott.
Sean, I'm here. Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm back.
You're back.
You released something last week.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I liked the, like a record scratch, yeah, that you went with. Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of that.
Yeah, it was actually kind of jarring. Like, wait, what?
Sure.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Sean does all of the production, and so me dabbling is a bit scary, but I had a lot of fun with it.
That's good. And it was the appropriate thing to do.
I think so, yeah. I think
retiring. Yeah.
And I was like, we've already done a best of. I think in the summer we can go back and revisit, you know, with the calls in the 7 years since,
right?
To add some of those to the list. But overall, yeah, it was a lot of fun to listen to that too, and sort of reflect back on the career of Vic Router.
And if I were to guess, I think we probably recorded that in person. Before going to sports trivia.
Yeah.
One night. That would be my guess.
That was our recording time. We would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then go Mondays, play sports trivia.
Monday afternoons, like, or evenings, like 5:30, 6 o'clock, and then go to sports trivia.
Yeah. Yeah. In person with one mic.
Yeah. And now we do virtually two mics and sports trivia doesn't exist anymore.
RIP sports trivia.
Yeah.
It was good while it lasted.
It was. I hope Troy's doing well.
As do I.
Yeah.
As do I.
Now we're back. We did miss the Men's World Curling Championship. So we will talk about that. And then we'll get into a bit of the Rock League that wrapped up on Sunday. I did watch the final. I was back in time to see that. I only saw the final live. You watched a lot more of it, Scott. So we'll get into what we thought of the Rock League. But first, let's talk about the 2026 Men's World Curling Championship and the Octo Champs from Sweden. It is Niklas Edin and his guys, Oscar Eriksson, Rasmus Rano, and Christopher Sundgren. They capture their eighth world championship. They beat Matt Dunstone in Canada 9-6 in the final. Scott, you watched this game.
I did.
And it was a classic scoreboard management in the start of the game. Niklas Edin goes 2-1-2, take the 4-1 lead. Dunstone does crack a deuce in the fifth, but deuces in the sixth and eighth for Niklas Edin, and another force in the ninth kind of wrapped that one up. But I don't know, was the game as, I don't want to say unbalanced, because 9-6 isn't a blowout or anything, but you look at that scoreboard and you would suggest, and the scoreboard would suggest, that it was Sweden, Niklas Edin in control the entire game.
Yeah, they were in control basically the whole game, and they were awesome. Like, it might be the best curled game that I can remember in a long time, especially in a big final. And we've seen some really great finals. Edin shot 95%, and the team as a whole shot 90. Like, Dunstone was 87 as a team, their whole team. Matt was 78 though to Nick's 95, and that was basically the difference, where Edin was so good that when Matt was shooting, it was either really hard, or like, so the degree of difficulty was just higher, or he just happened to like have a more humid moment and didn't make the shot. So I think like this is a case of definitely Sweden won this event. It wasn't a case of Canada losing it. And like, I fully feel confident saying Matt Dunstone will win a world championship one day. Like, yeah, he's 30 years old. Nowhere to go but up, I think. for him and this team.
Yeah, I think for them, first showing as a team and first as for Dunstone and Lott at the men's level, good for them to get to the final. They had a bit of a speed bump in the middle of the week there. They had the two loss day, and you could tell they were kind of down on either themselves or the ice, or they just weren't particularly confident there through the middle of the week. Kind of the same thing happened to Carrie Anderson too, where they had this sort of midweek little rough patch. It was the only two games that Matt Dunstone and the guys lost over the course of the week as they go 10-2. So yeah, a good week for them to get through. But I think, Scott, for me, as we look at the overall of this week, the takeaway definitely has to be Nicholas Sedin, 8 World Curling Championship. That is the most that anyone, men's or women's, has ever won.
Yeah.
Him and Oscar Erickson have both won the 8. Rano and Sundgren weren't there for all 8, but it's pretty darn impressive, especially after the year they had, or even the past couple of years they've had. The results haven't been there as what we had expected and what you would expect for them. But for them to come out this week, really be the class of the field the whole time, it's just a very, very impressive performance. I mean, they did lose to Dunstone in a game that seemed like nobody really wanted to play in the round robin. It was very disappointing just as a TV viewer. But I mean, take that game out, and they were just on fire. It was vintage Nicholas Sedin.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, okay, like they came out hot. Now they've played Canada. It was like midway through the round robin, right?
I watched it, so yeah.
Yeah.
I was still here.
And I thought, like, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe they just had that hot start and now they're done and they'll come back down to earth. But, like, no, they were just full marks for this whole tournament. Really, really, really good.
Yeah, and I think what it kind of – I think we're at this point with where the tour stops are, and I guess it's always kind of been like this with the slams and the tour stops, and the World Championship is so long of an event that it's just a different beast altogether. Mm-hmm. And to be able to sustain through that many games, and next year it's going to be fewer games, but it'll be just as long, which might actually make it harder to sustain over the course of the week. So to be able to do that for that long in a single event, that's really impressive. And I do think that it's meaningful, and it, you can get hot for 3-4 days at a cash spiel and have a good week and win an event. That happens. But I really think the attrition part of a world championship, Scotty's Briars are the same. I kind of think that helps separate the wheat from the chaff a little bit. And here's an example of these guys just doing it again. 8. It's so hard to wrap my head around 8.
8. Yeah. And you're right. And I think it's a reason we don't like the new format for the Briar and the Scotties as much as the old, with 12 team format, because you get to play everybody and you have to match yourself against everybody. And then in tiebreakers too, right?
Yeah.
You can't sort of rest on what you've already done in the past. You need to like continue to push through to beat everyone. Yeah. So that, I mean, we'll see how the worlds change with the new format going forward. But this is an incredible feat. I think we've talked about him as being the greatest before. No one's close in worlds. He's got 1 Olympic gold, other Olympic medals. Like, part of me is like, dude, if you have the same number of surgeries as world championships, maybe you don't need any more surgeries, right? So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the team decides to do. And in our preview, I didn't listen back to it. I wanted to, but I forgot. I think we said, like, you can't rule him out because he's Nicholas Sedin. But given the year they've had, do we think they're going to win? Probably not. And then, sure enough,
they win.
We get vintage Nicholas Sedin for a week, and yeah, rolling.
Yeah, so just very impressive, and congratulations to them. Dunstone with the silver medal, as we said, like a really good debut for him. Elsewhere, it is Ross White winning the bronze medal over John Schuster. Good week for both of them. In that semifinal, it was Matt Dunstone over Ross White, and that put him down into the bronze. I think that's a good debut for Ross White. And for as much as, you know, we're based in Canada, we follow the Canadian teams a little maybe closer, we'll see what happens. Like, there's been rumors about Grant Hardy and what he's going to do, but let's say both teams stay together. As we look ahead to France 2030, Scotland men's, that spot, I think, is really going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they'll do, if they'll have a traditional trials, if they'll do a best out of seven, if they'll appoint. I don't know, but those two teams are both really, really good.
Yeah.
And then you got Craik as well. So who's mucking about and in 4 years might be ready as well. Like, Scottish men's curling is very, it might not be as deep as Canadian men's curling, but I think it has a maybe higher ceiling than Canadian men's curling.
And I think if you go three deep in Canadian men's curling right now, you could take either side, really. Like, yeah. it might be Scotland.
Could be, yeah. Well, they invented it, so why not?
Why not, eh?
Good week for John Schuster as well, making the playoffs. Pretty much a farewell, I don't know, for Schuster, but a couple of the guys on the team had announced that this would be the end of their competitive careers in Chris Plyce and Colin Huffman. So congratulations to them. Good week on making the playoffs. And then Stefano Spiller and the Italians make the playoffs as well. That was a conglomerate team there, and Spiller, first time world junior champion. So we'll see. Looks like Joel Returnaz, that'll be it for him at the competitive level. So we would expect to see Spiller a bunch moving forward.
Yeah, a really good bounce back to the week for them. They started really badly.
Really bad.
He like couldn't make a draw. And then, you know, by game 4 or 5, they sort of picked it up and won, I think, 6 in a row at one point. So yeah, we're going to be hearing a lot from that, that Italian team going forward.
Yeah. So congratulations to them. Rounding out the rest of the field, it was China 6-6, Japan 5-7, Germany 4-8, South Korea 3-9, the Czechs 3-9, and Poland 2-10. Konrad Stich, in Poland's debut at a men's world championship, beat Germany and Norway, as Norway goes 0-4. Andreas Harstad was skipping there, kind of.
They pulled him pretty early,
and it was Magnus Ramsfeld playing. So they've been relegated. They'll make it back. It's fine. There's four teams are going to come out of the relegation thing, and they made a big deal when Norway was playing Canada of, hey, you don't mess around. Like, you shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have messed around. You just should have had Magnus Ramsfeld. But yeah. In my head, I'm like, who cares? Like,
yeah, whatever.
They'll be fine.
They're coming back. So yeah. So yeah,
it'll be all right. But yeah, they take the collar on this one and go 0-12. So Scott, of those non-playoff teams, does anything stand out to you?
Not really. I think everything shook out a bit how we were expecting. We maybe thought the Czechs had a chance to make more noise. Mark Moskatowicz and the German team, I think they had one of the shots of the week where I saw it on Twitter, Instagram or something, but I can't remember what it is, so take my word for it. Oh, I think it was a spinner. Shot that came in.
Yeah, very impressive.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But yeah, two wins for Poland. Hey, we thought it would be good for them to get one, so good on. I think you missed Switzerland when you went through the playoff teams, but they had a pretty good week as well. Right in the mix for the playoffs and lost in that qualifier game.
Yes, you're right. I did. Good week for Philip Husley and the guys from Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there you have it. That is the 2026 Men's World Curling Championship. Good job by Utah, too. It seemed like, I mean, this always happens to World Championships where the host team isn't playing. The plenty of seats can be available. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the draws I watched seemed like a pretty good crowd, a good building. Good job, Utah.
Yeah, I think a really good job overall. They put on a good show and, you know, we'll be ready for another Olympic Games 2034 going back to Utah.
Yeah. Now, one thing that did get some attention, Scott, during the medal presentations, it seemed like the players were confused by the cheese.
Ah.
And the blocks of cheese they got. This did get some attention. Is this something you noticed during the medal ceremony? The confusion over the Le Gruyere cheese.
So no, I was at a family event.
Wait, what? And, what? Family event? I wasn't there.
The other side of my family. And so I didn't want to be too antisocial. I was going down to watch the curling and like being like, oh, I'll go see what the kids are doing. And they're playing in the basement. And I was just like, oh, cool. I'm watching the game. Yeah, make me fake food. That'll be cool. And then I would come back and, you know, up and down. So as soon as the game was over, I just kind of bounced out and didn't stick around for the medal ceremony. So what, like, it was Le Gruyere not a title or a presenting sponsor?
It was, yeah. So they got cheese and just seemed confused by it.
Oh, it's because, you know, like, they haven't played in the European championships. Euros, yeah. So that's got to be the difference, right?
Yeah. Right. See, here's what I was wondering, though. So doing that during the Euros, you're in the Schengen zone. You can carry the cheese across. It's no big deal. How do you get the cheese home from the
US? I guess that's true, man. Yeah.
Or do you just have to, like, do they, as they walk off the ice, do they just give them, like, a crate of crackers?
Like, all right, guys.
You got it. You got to eat it tonight.
I don't know. You like, yeah, you'd have to declare it.
You got
to
declare it. It's a, yeah.
Declaring cheese into the Schengen zone.
Yeah. Or even just coming to Canada, right? You'd have to declare it coming across the border. Could potentially be an issue. I don't know. Like something to be aware of. Also, I mean, a giant wheel of cheese at this point could go over your allowance in terms of what you're allowed to bring back in terms of value that you have to declare. You have to pay tax on this, right?
Yeah.
We do live here in a country in Canada where there is supply management. Like, and supply now you got a giant block of cheese. The logistics of, maybe that's what they were thinking about, the logistics of how do we manage the legalities of the cheese.
I'm sure that's what Matt Dunstone and Colton Lott were debating was the
Prairie Province, you know?
Yeah. They know a lot of farmers and they're thinking, hey, I can't put my buddies out of a job by bringing this cheese home and selling it.
That's right. Yeah. And based on the Aaron Pincott news, seems like Matt Dunstone's actually moving back to Manitoba. So
that does seem that way. Yeah.
So things like you got to be aware of here.
Yeah. Meat and meat products, oils and fats, butter and cream. Tobacco products. Doesn't say cheese, man.
Okay. Maybe you can bring dairy.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
It's not a liquid.
No. So there you have it. 2026 Men's World Curling Championship in the books. The season of champions also in the books. Vic Rauter's career in the books. Very sad for that. Very understated farewell for Vic. I did enjoy that he was wearing the vintage TSN coat in that final broadcast. Just gave a little monologue and signed off. I get it for Vic. Like, obviously he didn't want a big thing, but man, it would have been cool if there had been a Vic essay, not done by Vic, but by Mudrick or someone at the women's in Calgary, whether it's fifth end of the gold medal game or whatever, like something that he's in the building and the crowd can acknowledge him. But obviously he didn't want to make it about him. And so his career ends calling the games off a screen in Toronto, or Scarborough, to be more accurate.
Yeah. It was like, I can see he didn't want to take away from Gushue, right? And knowing that Gushue had announced at the start of the year, Vic probably knew this all year, right?
Probably.
This isn't a like, oh, I made this decision midway through. He knew. And so for him to do it this way, I think it just like falls in line with what we've seen over 40 years of him wanting the attention to be on the players, the sport, and not himself. So, could it have been like a huge blowout party where everybody's dancing in an igloo and Vic says, oh, I got to go dance now, you know, that kind of like a fun Vic.
Yeah.
A little snippet from years earlier could have been, but I think it was just really nice. I think it was also nice that Kathy Gauthier started bawling beside him during it, because it was kind of like she was sort of representing all the fans, I think, at that moment. And it was, I also found it a bit funny. Like, they were all mic'd, and so they were all sort of stuck in their chairs. And like, Russ tried to get up to like give him a hug, but he couldn't get over far enough because his mic's like everything's sort of connected to the chairs the way that they do that. So make sure they don't run over the mic wires and stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was a bit funny, but poignant, good wrap up, and fitting farewell.
Yeah, I remember too, and you can go watch it when Ray Turnbull's last broadcast in 2010 at the World Championship in Cortina. And I love it because Ray's crying, Vic is emotional, and Linda's just in the middle. the one keeping it together is there. Yeah. And it's a really cool moment there. But they're, because they had stand-up mics, so they didn't have to be
super, because they were doing their stand-up. So yeah. Different.
So now that whole crew is gone, right? If you remember back to the Country Canada days, where there was the big controversy when it wasn't on TSN for a couple of years, and it was those three. They're like, that's the voice of curling, and now all three of them will not be on the curling broadcast anymore. And that, I mean, Vic has been the soundtrack for so many of the moments. Don Duguid as well, some of the older stuff, like the Jennifer Jones shot and that. But Vic is just synonymous with the sport. Now it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I have some theories or hypotheses of what TSN will do with the morning slot, on the assumption that Mudrick moves into the afternoon evening games. But we'll see. That's a conversation for another day, though.
I think so. That'll be a good summer speculation show.
Yeah. All right. So with that, Scott, let's move on to the Rock League, which took place last week at Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto. It was Shield Curling Club that comes out on top in winning over Typhoon in the final. Overall, it was very close in the standings throughout the week. There were three teams at 4-3 and three teams at 3-4. So clearly the teams were evenly dispersed in at least this first round. And then Shield, of course, comes out on top. Scott, you watched more of it than I did. I got back into Canada on Saturday afternoon, got home late Saturday afternoon, and fell asleep on my couch watching the Masters on Saturday.
As is your wont. Yes.
And then on Sunday, I double screened between the golf and the curling, but just the final. So I have some thoughts, but that's based purely on the final. You watched more than I did. What are some of your takeaways from this?
So I think what really worked was the sort of constant action. It had a bit of a surfing the sheets vibe, but like everything was kind of tied together, right? Because the results in one match were, they mattered to how the other matches were going, right? Like, so that I think really worked. You got to not see a lot of, well, I'll call like the sort of boring shots. And if they wanted to roll it back and show you something key, they could do it. So that I think really worked. The teams were super even, as you mentioned. I think there was only like,
one sweep.
There was three sweep games that I'm seeing.
That's not bad.
Not bad. And then on the Saturday when it was mixed fours. Saturday was mixed fours.
Yeah.
So on that one, the Maple United against Shield. Shield won it, or Maple United swept it, and Maple was the six playing the one in that. And so that's what really sort of upended a bit the standings, because Shield was the one after that. And then you had a split in Frontier and Alpine. Each of the games decided by 1 point, which were pretty exciting coming down to the end. And then in the late draw, which is the one I didn't see, it was Typhoon getting their point for that. So, just like pretty exciting. There was a huge shot. I'm trying to think of exactly the one. I think it was Frontier in that they made like a huge comeback in a game. They were down 7-3 and came back and won it, like tied it in the last end by putting one shot on the pin and having two others. So they scored three, but because of the extra point on the pin, they tied it 7-7. And then Stefania Constantini, who had gone back to Italy.
Yeah. Her and the center and came back.
And then came back and threw a draw. And like the other team went first, and I forget who it was. I think it was, anyway, this is bad podcasting, but I think it was Elena Patz who came up late, or maybe it was Hasselberg, doesn't matter, came up like put it in the 12 foot, and then she just said whatever and put it like boom, top four. It was pretty amazing. So that was a really fun moment too, right? Where like, and because they're the last game, all of the team is like crowded around the end and are like, oh yeah, like everyone's going nuts. Frontier did take their sleeves off for some of the games on Saturday. So, you know, but it was equal.
I like sleeves.
Equal men and women, both, you know, not wearing sleeves. So
it's a great invention.
Yeah. Yeah. So overall, I thought it was pretty fun. And then I watched the final. It was a bit anticlimactic because the Shield team was.
I mean, was it? It came to a draw to the button.
Oh, yeah.
Benoit Schwartz.
Oh, so you know what? Button. I didn't get to watch. Oh, you know what? I was watching the final. I was thinking the semifinal was the one, the Shield versus Alpine, because that was 3-0. Yeah. But yeah, so I was watching the final, and then I had to go upstairs to do something, and I came down and they were celebrating. So I was like, oh, okay. I missed it. But yeah, so like a pretty good ending, right? You get a draw to the button to decide it, you know, after a pretty nip and tuck back and forth on the men's side and the mixed double side. So, yeah, overall, I think it was a fun experiment. It was pretty good. They seem to have enough fans there. Few technical glitches in the broadcast, but you're going to expect that. There was a few places where I would have liked some sort of transition into a replay where it was just a hard cut and all of a sudden they were showing the replay, but I couldn't really tell it was a replay. Other than that, those are like small nitpicks, but overall I thought it was pretty fun. The trophy presentation at the end was this sort of like foam trophy that had the moose head as the handle to the curling stone on top.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, indicating that the Shield team had won. So yeah, I think overall a lot of fun. The players really seem to get into it, right? And rooting for each other, and that sort of camaraderie came through. I think some of them described it a bit like Continental Cup vibes.
Right.
Which I think is kind of what you should go for when you're doing this kind of an event where it's a larger team than just a four-person or two-person team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So for me, I got to say, I hate the two-point pin thing. I hate it with every fiber of my being. I really do. It's so gimmicky that if it was all game, sure. Do it all game. Like, just to say, it feels so artificial of like, oh, we want these exciting finishes, so we're going to change the rules in the last end. You know what it's like to me? It's this is going to be maybe a terrible comparison. But you know, in The Family Feud, where like the first round is worth like times one point and then times double. 2 points, and the last round's like time 10 points. It's really just whoever wins the last round wins the game. It's like, yeah. Why are we playing the rest of the game? Like, it kind of has that vibe of like nothing else matters. Like, I don't know. It just feels so gimmicky to add something for the last end. I really dislike that. And in the mixed doubles game in the final, that's how we got to the draw to the button. And to me, it wasn't more exciting. It was anticlimactic because they just sort of were protecting this rock on the button for two, where that's easier than scoring 2 points.
Right.
So I don't know. I really dislike that. I struggle to
I think
see the excitement in that. I just, no, like I really just didn't like that. The other thing that, and they talked about this in, I read an article today that they interviewed Nick Sulski. On paper, having the bar thing in the middle of the sheets makes sense. In practice, and you saw this during the final, there were no fans on the side that had the single sheet mixed doubles game.
Right.
Because you can't see anything, right? You can't see through the people in the middle. So that's not, I'm sure that will change in the orientation of it. Maybe put the bar on the side or two bars on the side and have that at ice level, having it in the middle, just logistically for the fans in the stands. Maybe not a great look. And then it looks really bad on TV where you have one side of the arena where there's two people watching that game. And
the players' families are sitting there.
Which is too bad because so many of these games came down, or these matches came down to the mixed doubles game, and they're off sort of on this seemingly island over there. So that one, I think you'd want to change up a bit. But what occurred to me in watching the final, one other quick note, and this is not necessarily a thing, but during the little pregame stuff, I turned it on with about 15 minutes before the game.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they did this while the final was going on, but Savalin Lang had the Masters on an iPad in the arena. Now, sure, they might have turned it off when the game started. I don't know, because this was pregame. But I don't know if the people who are there and championing this thing, I want to watch the golf at the same time. I don't know. So there was, I just noted that as they were showing stuff from around the rink. But if the idea is to do like a season of this, or to make it like a professional league, how does each event work? Because this one made sense. It's a 1 week thing, little round robin, playoffs, champion. Like, is there going to be a champion for each event, or is each week going to be a series of regular season games? And then at the end, the last event will be like the playoffs, or is there going to be a series of champions? Like, that's kind of what I'm curious about, because they're talking about like, this is your professional curling, professional league.
Yeah.
But if each one is just a week long bond spiel where there's a champion, basically we've just expanded the teams or changed the type of teams in Grand Slams and have a different format. Like, that's the thing I want to know for next year, because this works as a stand. Like, I was watching this thinking, this is the perfect end of season event.
Yeah.
Right. Like, the problem with the Continental Cup was, where do you put it? How does it work? Like, nobody really cares about who wins. It was sort of a fun little like piss up event, and you can have a good time. That's kind of what this felt like. So put this after the World Championship, end of the year, fun little thing. There's no real stakes in terms of.
I mean, I think the money is like, real. It's not a huge amount of money, but I think the players cared about the money.
Sure. $10,000 each per player for the winning team. That's not chump change by any means. Yeah. But do you need it more than what? Like, it just struck me, this is the perfect end of season event.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we'll have to hear what their vision is going forward, right? And if they want to move it and have it in different locations.
That's
and
the plan for next year.
Like, part of me thinks, oh, you could do at each one, every team plays three games against other franchises, right? You do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You play three games. You go to the next event, you play the different three teams, the next event going like,
yeah,
so on and so forth.
Over four events, you have a double round robin. There you go.
Yeah. And then you're right. Then when you get to the final event, you can either do something like this, right? And add another set of matches where everybody plays every franchise one more time.
Yep.
And then your like standings is probably not going to be 3-2, 3-2, 3-2, 2-3, 2-3, 2-3, right? You're going to have a bigger distribution, a bigger sample size from which to start that playoff type experiment. So that could be the way they see it. I mean, if you're going to send everybody to Italy or Switzerland or Sweden or Japan or Korea, you kind of don't want them to go for 3 days of curling.
No.
Like, you got to make it worth everyone's time.
Yeah.
So
but even if you're sending them to Winnipeg, like, renting these buildings is expensive and putting the ice in and all that, right? So you want to make it a week-long event to make it worth your while.
Yeah.
Do it. But then that's why I wonder, like, do you need a champion at each event? Or is it enough to have even 5 days of just regular season play?
Yeah. Everybody plays everyone once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
You have kind of like blocks of games. Like, all right, this is block one or session one of four. And there's only one champion at the end of the year. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we could do some investigative journalism and try to figure it out, or, you know, talk to some people who know things. But that seems like a lot of work.
It does. Yeah. So I don't know. So that's sort of the question that I had coming out of it in terms of, yeah, this works. It struck me as it worked really well as a one-off and as an end of the season event. But yeah, I'm just curious how it works over the course of the whole season, going into it. And again, I really hate the 2 point. It really bugs me. It really did.
I think I like it because it makes the defense a bit harder, right? And defending leads is always kind of like, oh, well, game's over, like, whatever. So it's not impossible to defend a lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it just makes it a bit harder. You got to think a bit differently about how you play those last ends.
Yeah. The other one was the no tick rule across the whole sheet. Brad Jacobs said he had already emailed World Curling that this should be implemented in all
games.
Here's the thing for me. If they want to put it in a world champ, like, I'd find it.
Sure. But like, we're going to tick guards because we're bad.
And that's the thing. Like, the no tick was introduced at our club this year. It didn't come up that much because it's only on the center line. But if you put that in, you can't put it in direct level play. Like, I'm sorry.
No.
You can't. And the leagues that we play in like to think that they're better than they are. And it would be put into play and it would just be a cluster and it would be awful.
Yeah. Everybody would be like, oh, you took, like, obviously I didn't mean to take your corner guard when I'm trying to, like, go the other way. my thrower threw the wrong turn and like,
yeah,
you know,
it would be a total mess.
Yeah.
So that, you know, yeah, put it in on the elite events. Fine. Go, have a good time, everybody. But, you know, given that a lot of rec level play follows that, it's.
Yeah. Not ideal.
No. Otherwise, Scott, I think, yeah, there was some, and they acknowledged that some issues with the broadcast, especially earlier in the week. I was watching the pregame on Gem. By the way, Gem is like awful. Like just to get back into Gem, I hadn't used it since the Olympics. Like you would think that I was trying to withdraw my entire life savings out of my bank account when I'm trying to watch something on Gem. It was ridiculous getting back into it.
Yeah.
Like it was insane. And I was, so I finally got in and just in the middle of it, I think Joey and Courtney's talking and then it just goes, this program has ended. Cut off. I'm like, wait a minute. She was in the middle of a sentence. Yeah, a couple like little things like that, that, I mean, that happens. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, and they'll work that out. I thought overall, like the broadcasts were pretty good. Colin was good, sort of master of ceremonies, sort of like corralling all the other commentators. Chelsea Carey was awesome as always. Courtney was good. Jen Jones was pretty good. Yeah. So overall, I had no real qualms with the broadcast. One time I saw Matt Hamilton was doing a sideline. And the audio feed didn't switch to him until like a third of the way through his interview. So we missed out on a few things there, but you know, he was pretty fun down on the ice. All good.
The one thing, and again, this is only from the between games, the between semifinal and final, like the pregame of the final and what I saw during the final, it did feel times, and I heard from other folks who I've talked to since I've been back who watched more of this, that it felt a little too much to some folks of like hyping up the product in some of these moments as opposed to just let it play out. Like a lot of the commentary and the interviews were in service of trying to convince me that this is a great event.
Yeah.
As opposed to just let the event be great,
speak right? for itself, right?
Yeah, it's like you're trying to sell it to me as I'm watching it, but like I'm already here and I'm watching it. You don't need to sell me. Like just let it, if it's great, let it be great.
Fair enough.
So I think that would, that I noticed it just in the final, and then some folks who I was talking to mentioned that was kind of a constant through the week.
Okay. And because I could see in the final being like, well, if you haven't been here all week, like this is kind of what the vibe has been, sort of the fun. These are all the crazy shots that we've had, cool stuff like that. Yeah. But somebody asked me last night, Martin, maybe he's listening. He said, Scott, like who is Rock League for? Like, what is Rock League? Why is this good? And I said, well, you know, they're trying new things. That's good. You know, we've wanted the Grand Slams to try new things for as long as we've done this show. But I also said, like, think about when the first time that they decided, hey, we're going to have like hockey games featuring teams from cities with people that don't live in those cities. That was probably pretty weird, right? Like, so think of it kind of like that as the beginning of something. And whenever something's new, it's probably going to be weird. So. Sure. Yeah.
So see what the future of this is. And as we said a couple of weeks ago, and as I think we try to be relatively consistent on, that we like when people are trying new things. Give it a try. See what happens. It's the Elite 10 of it all that I'm not mad that the Elite 10 happened, and I'm happy that it doesn't exist anymore. it's sort of that whole idea. I'm not mad that they tried the 2-point last end thing. Good. Try it. Enjoy it. I hated the results, but other people really liked it. So I will probably stick around, and that's okay. I cannot like it and it can stick around and the world will continue to spin on X-axis and everything will be fine. Yeah. So there you have it. That's the start of Rock League, Scott. This could be the ground floor of a revolutionary moment in curling history, or it could be the Curling World Cup, or it could be something in between those two things.
Yeah, probably will be something in between those things. And I for one, Sean, am happy that we were there on the ground floor, effusive in our support of it.
Effusive?
Well, maybe. I think I was. Like, yeah, I'm happy that they're trying something new.
Yeah.
It's probably not for everyone. And like, I didn't watch every draw all week. Like, I, you know, at least for the Scotties and the Briar, like, knew when the draws were on and I would put it on if I was near a computer.
Right.
This, I wasn't in that kind of a zone for it. But when I remembered it was on, I would say, oh, yeah, let's try to put that on. Yeah. So,
all right. So there you go. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with it next year. It'll, I believe the plan is January, I think, for the first session. One will be in Ottawa, and I'll go to one. One of the matches when they're here, happy to go and see it in person. And, you know, I've never been to a slam in person. So this similar vibe, I'll be curious to see what it's all about. Yeah. Maybe I'll change my tune on the 2-point thing. I don't think so, but maybe I will. Who knows?
Sean, I always say never, 'cause maybe things will change.
Yeah. You say that? You came up with that?
All the time I say that. Yeah.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. That is our thoughts on Rock League. We'll see what happens with it next year. And that will put a pin in the curling season, I think. Everything is done on the major events. Next big one would be the Korean National Championships, which always takes place in the summertime. That would be the next big one going on, unless I've missed something. Scott, you look aghast.
Sean, I just logged on to Curling Zone.
Yeah.
Go to Curling Zone.
A Curling Zone. Okay, we got a live reveal of something here. So curlingzone.com. What do we got? What? What am I looking at?
Are you not seeing this?
Seeing what?
This is like a redesigned Curling Zone.
Oh, yes. It does look very different.
Yeah.
I thought there was some story I was looking at. Oh, no. The actual website is the story.
The website.
Yeah. It is very different.
It looks way better. I don't know if functionally it'll be better, but it looks way better.
Yeah. All right. Let me go to Teams here and see. Teams. I mean, this all looks the same. The homepage is different, though.
Okay, listen, it's a step.
It is.
I like it.
All right, good job, Curling Zone.
Home.curlingzone.com.
Yeah.
Looking good. We'll see about navigating it, but it looks like they have a lot of the Rock League scores there. They got the scores. They got the links to the YouTube for replays of everything. I like it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's still a lot on the page, but definitely a cleaner and fresher look. I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, I was.
You were aghast.
I was. I was literally agog and aghast.
Yeah. And as we look at it here, just pulling up the scores, all events this week, we got the Baden Open doubles, the Polish Mixed Doubles Curling League. Is all that's going on. So yeah, the major events are done for the season. And with that, we will turn our attention to our off-season content, which is always a good time for us. We'll talk about lineup changes. Definitely we'll talk about what's been going on in Ontario. Structurally, that's something that I want to get into in some more detail. I want to talk to some of our friends down in the U.S., get a bit of update on what's been going on down there. We haven't talked in a while since some of the administrative issues down south with the USA Curling. Talk about that. We want to catch up with some other folks over the course of the summer. Got a couple ideas as well related to, we did Movie May last year. Maybe we'll do similar something this year. There's some books that I want to talk about, curling specific books. We got a lot of stuff. My notebook is relatively full. So if you have ideas for us, or you just want to hear any of our summer content, please do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Like, rate, comment, all that good stuff helps other people find the show, keeps us growing. You can head on over to GameOfStonesPod.com. Past episodes are there, plus a link to the merch. We're on the socials at Game of Stones Pod, with the exception of Facebook, where it's Game of Stones Podcast. And if you have any of those summer episode ideas, GameOfStonesPodcast@gmail.com. Scott, it is a fun time, I think, for us when we shift to the off-season content, especially after what has been a very long winter season here of the routine of event, like preview, recap, talking about all these games, which is fun. Yeah. It's great to talk about the games and that, but to kind of now pull out here as we get into the spring through the summer and look at the sport, we'll do some stuff on the rec level, some of the administrative stuff, just kind of get away from just pure games and look at the sport maybe a little more holistically.
Yeah, and I want to get dug in a little bit to some of the statistics, the statistical analysis of the sport. So for those of you who like that kind of thing, I'll try to do that. Yeah, lots of options for what we can do going forward and how we can better approach the game when it comes to next season too.
Yeah, because before you know it, the snow will be flying again.
Yeah, and it might be this week, you know? You never
know, right? It could be tomorrow.
It could be. Yeah.
It's been a time here in the nation's capital since I returned. I don't think the ground's been dry.
No, it's been good, though. It's been warm, and that's good enough for me. Yeah. Sean, we talked before you left, right, about the end of our season?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we won the Bar Bucks.
Yeah, we won the Bar Bucks. We're awesome. yeah, so we talked a little bit at the end of our season about what to do in the summertime as a team building exercise.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to do a brewery tour of Eastern Ontario.
Nice. I like that idea.
We've not picked any times or dates to do it, but we're going to sucker somebody into driving us. So it should be fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So
yeah, that should be a good time for sure. Yeah, always good to see the teams there in the summertime. It's weird, right? Like where you have people, like you literally see them every week for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then don't.
And then don't. I guess you and I see each other, but but yes, we don't always see the rest of our team. So
yeah. So, that'll be fun. We do, though, Scott, you're not playing, but there is one event left. It is the Perry Bonspiel.
Right.
We got a pseudo out of town draw just by happenstance. So you're not going to be playing in it. And at this point, we've gotten at least a fifth person involved. I'm hoping we can get a sixth because we're going to have to play. Our first game will be next Thursday at 9 p.m. But then independent of the result of that game, the game two is at 4 p.m. on Friday, which is suboptimal, to say the least. So we're trying to rope in some teachers who we know to play, have a teacher game on that one. But yeah, so one event left for me that I'll be playing. The team, we got at least four games, guaranteed four games this year. So okay. I'll play, I think, at least two, maybe more. We'll see what happens, but yeah, your shoes are hung up for the years and for the year, and mine are about to be.
Yeah, it's too bad. I was hoping to be around for at least the beginning of that, but no joy. So yeah, good luck to you and the squad. I'll be following from afar.
Thank you. It's the 2-year anniversary of our wonderful run in this event where I won a Fitbit, and actually on my flight home, the Fitbit, or not really the Fitbit, the wristband of the Fitbit broke.
Ah.
So 2 years, and now I have to go win another Fitbit.
you can replace the wristband. They're not that expensive.
They're not that expensive. It's true. And I get different colors and stuff, which I didn't know. This whole world of Fitbit wristbands blew my mind on Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you learning stuff at your ripe old age.
There you go. So there you have it. That's what's going on with us in curling. For those of you who have wrapped up your season, hope you ended on a high note. And for our friends down in the U.S. who play in arena leagues that are just about to kick off, happy preseason and early season to you. Enjoy it. It's always a good time when you get back out on the ice. And as you say, we'll be with you throughout the summer, talking all about this wonderful sport that we all love so much. So until we chat with you again, keep those brooms on the ice and don't dump that intern.
Make the final.